What I want to talk to you about is about the birth of Christ. Now, maybe I shouldn't be so nervous about this topic. It is scriptural. It's in the Bible. We can read about it. And I want to observe some things from it. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6 says, "For unto us is born unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, David, one thing that pops out to me is whenever me, you, Ian, and Tim stopped at a little convenience store in Sayre, Oklahoma, and a guy met Ian outside the bathroom and stepped in front of Ian and me, and he stepped up to Ian and he said, "Believe in the Son of God." And Ian says, "I do." And then he said, "I am the Son of God." And every time I read this scripture, I think of that event, because this is what he then told Ian. Ian said, "You are not the Son of God." And then he quoted, he started to quote this to Ian, that the government would be upon his shoulders and everything. And of course, then it got a little bit more crazy with the H1N1 virus and the vaccine, and don't take it, it's the mark of the beast. And well, it was something, but yes, to give a little humor to this lesson, that's something that I always think of whenever I consider this scripture, is that event in my life. But what it was meaning was that this child that would be born, that the government would be upon his shoulder, but who he was going to be, he was going to be called Wonderful. He was going to be Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that event is very important to us. Not because of the season that it is. Not because of the month or the date that it could have been or wasn't or who it was. This is the month that most people in the world have set aside to observe the birth of Christ. In just a few days, people around the world are going to observe the day of December 25th to set aside and to recognize the birth of Christ. Now, with that being said, there's a lot of traditions that go along with the birth of Christ that people have added to this event, and that's where it begins to be a little bit questionable. And that's where I would tend to lead us to the scriptures, Matthew 15, where the scribes and Pharisees had come to Jesus, and they came to Jesus and they said, "Why do your disciples transgress the commandments of God? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." And Jesus said, "Why do you transgress the commandments of God by your traditions?" And so, whenever we stop to observe things like this and we start adding these things that could be man-made traditions, I would just say, you know, let's keep the birth of Christ in the proper context, and in doing so, we shouldn't have to worry about so much the traditions of man to interfere with the commandments of God. With that being said, we don't have a commandment in the Bible telling us to observe this event, the birth of Christ. There's not a commandment in the Bible for that. We recognize from the scriptures that the emphasis is upon the death of Jesus and his resurrection. And it's this event that we're told to remember. It's this event that we're here today to observe. We've come here today because of the communion. And we want to observe certain things from that later. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, he says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes." We find over and over again from the very night that Jesus took the bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, that they commanded this to be observed, and that as we are a New Testament church, Acts 2:42, as they went and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread from house to house with prayers and so forth like this, that we see that they continued in what the apostles had told them to do. They continued observing the death of Christ. And so it's not surprising to us, being a New Testament church, trying to speak where the Bible speaks, that we observe this event, that we wouldn't be shocked to read through the Scriptures and not find that in the Scriptures the New Testament church didn't have the birth of Christ as an observance. Christians in the New Testament did not celebrate it as an annual event, as it is observed today. So the question becomes, is it wrong to observe this event? That's the question, and maybe that's what I'm most nervous about trying to answer for you today. I'll tell you right now, I believe the answer is no. The answer is no. In Romans chapter 14 and verse number 6, he says, "He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks." The Jews had so many days that they took and observed to the Lord. And whenever the Gentiles began coming into the church, the Jews expected the Gentiles to start observing these days. They had the Feast of the Passover that they kept, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the First Fruits, the Feast of the Weeks, Pentecost, the Feast of the Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, all these days that they had that they set aside to observe as a holy day to the Lord, they set aside to observe them. But the Gentiles, not knowing these events. Adam Clark was writing, I was trying to study up to find out exactly what this meant. Adam Clark said it like this, a beautiful apology, mistaken sincerity and injudicious reformation. Do not condemn the man for what is indifferent in itself. If he keep these festivals, his purpose is to honor God by the religious observance of them. On the other hand, he who finds that he cannot observe them in honor of God, not believing that God has enjoined them, he does not observe them at all. And so here you got nothing more than what we have with this religious holiday, this Christmas holiday. We have this day that people have set aside, most people, the millions of people around the world, Christians around the world, have set aside saying this is a day that we're going to take to observe the birth of Christ. And then some people say, well, no, that's not the day he was born on. We're not going to observe it. And you have nothing more than what was happening in the days of Paul, whenever he said, some people regard days as holy. Some people regardeth the day to the Lord, and some people don't. To the Lord he gives thanks to it, and to them that don't, they give thanks. So there's nothing wrong that I could find with observing the birth of Christ, but to get up and to say, you know, I do not believe that it's wrong or sinful for us to observe the birth of Christ, but it's important that we understand that it's not a commandment for us, nor should we try to condemn others that do observe it. The New Testament talks about the birth of Christ. In Revelation chapter 12, it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. I told you there would be a red dragon in there. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. As she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that she should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the seal, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away in the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with her remnant, with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, we've all seen, I would say, the nativity of Jesus as what people would picture the nativity of Jesus looking like. You have this woman who's travailing in birth. She's in pain, ready to be delivered. And we can recognize this woman as being Mary in this story, that this man that she has, this baby that she has in her, was going to be the child that would be born was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And so as we start identifying these figures that Revelation is laying out here, we can start identifying who these characters are or were. And we can see that this woman probably being Mary and this child being Jesus, the great dragon. We identify him then as being Satan. It tells us who he is, this dragon. But whenever we start to look at nativity scenes, I drove past a few on the way to church, speedily drove past them as I was trying to get to church. You know, I didn't see nothing about no dragon there. I didn't see a dragon at the nativity. And most of us don't whenever we think of that. Have you ever seen a nativity scene with a dragon? I tried to put this together the best I could. A dragon that had 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon its head. And the dragon went to make war with this woman, tried to take out this woman when he saw that he was cast to earth. Can we identify this with anyone? I think we can. It says in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 2, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come in into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother. By night they departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, for 2 years old under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. You know, I never had really tied Revelations to the birth of Christ before until that event. Until you got to seeing that this great dragon went to make war with her seed and with the... Because the dragon went to destroy this child. And we see that this dragon here, this Satan, this, as he called, as that old dragon that is Satan, that old serpent, the devil is Satan. And we see Herod then being in this place of working as Satan, out to make war with the seed of this woman, out to destroy this woman, seeking for to take this woman and her child. The birth of Christ was prophesied. This was going to come to pass. It says in Isaiah 7:14, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Micah talked about it. He says, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Out of thee was going to come this prophecy that was fulfilled in Christ, the birth of Christ. It was promised to Joseph. Matthew 1:18, he says, Now the birth of Jesus was on the wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This promise of this Jesus that was going to come forth, that was going to save his people from his sins, that he was going to rule all nations. These great promises that we have concerning this event. To Mary, he says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. All of these promises made, these prophecies being fulfilled in this one event. It was proclaimed by the angels. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And so these angels have gone forth to proclaim this birth of Jesus. They've gone forth to tell the wise men, the shepherds. So what is the significance then? What is the main significance of the birth of Christ? We got these prophecies concerning the Bible. The Bible talks about it. We can address this publicly through scriptures without adding in any traditions. The significance of the birth of Christ is that it made possible, it was made for God to come in the flesh and dwell among us. They would call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. God came down to this earth in the flesh to be with us. While he was in this flesh, he was tempted. He was tried in every way that we were. He knows what it's like to be human. It was made possible by the birth of Christ. Without the birth of Christ, that wouldn't have happened. It made possible for the establishment of the kingdom. Whenever Jesus went to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some say, they all began to answer, saying, some say that thou art Elias or Jeremiah or one of the prophets or John the Baptist. And he said, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter stood up, saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, I say unto you that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon the confession that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Christ. Who am I? And so without the birth of Christ, the kingdom could never be established. The church. Without the birth of Christ, we couldn't have redemption for our sins. Jesus came to this earth. He suffered a cruel death upon the cross that we have set aside to observe today for what he had done to us. That he would go to the cross of Calvary. That he would be nailed upon this cross. That his blood would be shed. And that because of this sacrifice, we could have peace with God. Jesus brought forth peace with God. He brought forth a relationship. He bridged that gap. That sin that had separated us had now been bridged because of what Jesus went through. And it would not have ever been made possible unless Jesus had been born. And so there's a good reason to acknowledge the birth of Christ, but there's something that we need to keep in mind is what He did for us while He was on this earth. The price that He paid. Without the birth of Christ, we have no resurrected Savior. Because Jesus came to the earth, we can have a relationship with God. And that's where we're really at today, is do you have a relationship with God? Because today you can have one. He shed His blood upon the cross, and you can meet His blood in baptism. By being buried with Him in baptism, washed in His blood, raised to walk in newness of life, you can have that relationship with Him today. And so as we conclude today, where do you stand? Where do you stand on this subject? Where do you stand with God? Are you ready to meet Him? If not, the time is now. The time to get right with Him is now. To observe His death for what He done for you, His shedding of blood.